All right. We're studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, and if you don't have a Bible with you or a Testament with you, I'll let you use mine. We have a few copies of our lesson run off in case you don't have one. This month we're studying the book of two books, 1 and 2 Corinthians. So if you would like to have a transcription of that, I have a few copies here and I can certainly give you one. This is 1 and 2 Corinthians. The verses that have a reference to the Holy Spirit. This is just a kind of narrow thing down. I only picked the verses that had the Holy Spirit mentioned. You need that book?
Yeah.
So if you want to
thank
share
you.
That?
Thank
all right,
you.
Brother. Thank you.
I'll take one.
Anything is free.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we're doing in this class, in case you've lost track of it, our purpose is to learn all we can about the Holy Spirit. That's really the baseline of what we're about here. All of us probably have at least heard the Holy Spirit discussed in Bible classes before, and that's good. Perhaps we've never had what we might call an intensive study of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. What's that? Maybe I do. I don't know. I don't know why I suddenly got trouble with my throat. You know, thank you. Throat trouble is something that all of us have at times. But anyway, what we've tried to do, we've started out with the Old Testament, looking at every scripture we could find where the Holy Spirit was mentioned, and then we got in the New Testament, and of course, the Holy Spirit seems to have changed his modus operandi in the time of the New Testament. But still, he is the powerful expression of the Trinity, and he is alive and well. We first, in the New Testament, find him being promised to live within people who are believers in Jesus Christ. And so that is the even more important part of the study for us to give attention to. If the Holy Spirit were just distant and we knew intellectually that he was a part of God and that he was powerful, if all of these things were told us but he did not promise to give us a presence of the Holy Spirit within us, maybe it wouldn't be quite as significant to us. But since we are told that the gift of the Holy Spirit is something that we can be confident of as we become Christians and see the Holy Spirit actually present in our lives, maybe it wouldn't seem quite as important. But as we have seen, as we've gone through this, the Holy Spirit was very important during the early days of the church. Thank you. And so, just like water is to a person that can't talk, the Holy Spirit is very, very important in the life of every Christian. Not just some Christians, not just Christians in general, but he is important because each of us is his temple. And since we are each his temple, then we ought to know more about him. And that's what we're doing in this class. And with that introduction, let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We started last week with the first chapter of verses 2 through 4, which tells us that, I'll just read it again. God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's from the English Standard Version. So we see that it goes way back when the prophets were very active in the Old Testament. At that time, the Holy Spirit was beginning to make himself noticed. He was working very mightily in the lives of many of the leaders that God raised up, but we don't find very many times where the Holy Spirit is talked about as being active in people in general. Okay? All right. Now let's move on to, let's see here. Anyway, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we find that now we're going to be looking at all the verses in that book that are relevant to the Holy Spirit. I think I gave away the copy of this that I had. Somebody tell me what is in chapter 2. All right, verses 9 through 14. So someone read that section to us, please.
But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God.
All right, so let's just look at this. What are the specific ways in which the Holy Spirit is described in this paragraph? That is he described by what he does, by what he says? How is it that he's identified here in this particular paragraph in 1 Corinthians? Let's look at that. What's that?
He searches the mind and the heart.
He searches the mind and the heart. Whose mind and heart does he search?
Ours.
And God's heart. Mm-hmm. Yes. He is busy, isn't he? He searches. That is, this is not some cursory examination. The Holy Spirit searches the minds and the hearts, not only of us, but of God. So he's got a really big job to do. He is constantly cruising through our mind and our hearts. We might say he's surfing. Is that a good way of putting it? He's always alert to what's going on in the minds of people that are his, and in the heart of God, who is what he is. The Holy Spirit is a part of God, just like Jesus is a part of God. They are all connected. All three are one. And so the Holy Spirit is constantly checking on what's going on in the mind of God, as he is also looking at the minds that we have in our brains. Would you say he's important? He's got to be important. We may not understand how he does this. Because does he have time to check out God and check out you, Vernon, in order to make sure that he's got these in sync?
Well, he takes time.
I got that. He takes time, doesn't he? You ever have this problem that you have too many things to do? Well, I do. I mean, you asked me a few minutes ago about what's going on in Ukraine. If I told you everything I know about Ukraine, well, certainly that's all we'd be doing this morning. That is not what you came for. But I have to take time to keep track of what's going on over there in order to do my work as a missionary to the people of Ukraine. If I don't take time to do it, I don't get it done. I have to consciously check mail. I have to consciously talk to people. I have to consciously get updated to what's going on. If I find myself some days getting nothing done, it even comes close to accomplishing what I wanted to get done. Yes, brother?
Recognizing that we are in the stream of time, it's also important at this point to recognize God is above the stream of time, and he most certainly sees the end from the beginning. I could cite examples, but we're knowledgeable of the Bible, and so many in the class already know there are cases where through a vision he would send to an individual about what's about to happen in 30 or 40 years, as well as 700 years. Just so calling that to our attention.
You're absolutely right. So it's not as though God has to even say to the Holy Spirit, here's what I'm thinking about. That's all automatic. It's something that God already knows about, the Holy Spirit knows about. He knows even what you're thinking about. There are a lot of people around, aren't there? And there are a lot of people who are Christians who have the Holy Spirit within their hearts. That's all Christian. And Holy Spirit is keeping track of what's going on in your mind and my mind as well.
Probably getting ahead of where you're going, but if we lack the Spirit, we do not have the promise of salvation. Those who run by a carnal life, they're in opposition to one another, and they will not receive the blessing of eternal life. But those who walk by the Spirit and pleases God, that's a promise that he makes for us.
Oh, that's certainly true. In fact, when we get over into Galatians, we'll be finding that Paul talks more about that. In Ephesians, he does. And he's reminding Christians everywhere he goes that the Holy Spirit is a partner with us in our seeking to please God and glorify him in this world. So let's move on here in this scripture right here. What is another function that you see the Holy Spirit carrying out? Not only does he identify what it is that people are thinking about, what God thinks about, what else does he do? Yes.
So Paul mentions another spirit here. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Who is he talking about? Do we assume he's talking about Satan?
I'm assuming you're right. Yes, I think that's the answer to your question right there. There is not a vacuum. As far we may think sometimes that our brain is a vacuum, but the fact is that we're either inhabited by the Holy Spirit or we're inhabited by the spirit of the world. And Paul keeps telling us that we have to keep fighting against the spirit of the world, in, as we live this life. So we may say to ourselves on Monday morning, I've got a big week ahead of me. I'm going to concentrate just on getting my job done this week. And that's not always a bad thing. But the question is, what are you excluding in order to make it possible for you to get your job done? Yes.
Responding to what Dana brought to our attention, wouldn't our phones and our media and our television be extremely filled with the spirit of the world? And of course, you know, I'm assuming yes.
Well, and what you're saying is they are tools that can either be used by the spirit of God or the spirit of the world.
If I let my little grandson, who's 12 years old and here visiting with us today, or his parents allow him access to with his cell phone, And I don't monitor that or restrict that, the spirit of the world is getting into someone I dearly love, as we all would love our grandchildren or our own children, even ourselves. If we open our phones and we're seeing Facebook say this, back to Dan, is that not the spirit of the world impinging? changing on our minds things that if we don't have, if we don't make an intentional effort to put the Spirit of the Holy Spirit through His Word into our minds, what's overriding?
Mm-hmm.
So we're raising a red flag, cautioning of extreme danger to our children, ourselves, and others, that the spirit of the world is pushing itself into our minds
mm-hmm.
constantly. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit through His Word, which we imply, as we've heard preached, the Word should dwell in us richly, mm-hmm. not minimally. And so we're just raising the red flag here because we're on this spiritual topic.
Amen. You're starting to say something.
The Spirit helps us distinguish between the worldly things
yes.
and spiritual
Amen.
Self. And my version uses the word appraise. Appraise is to put value on things. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we can evaluate things according to the Spirit rather than the ways of the world. And there are some people who consider the things of the Spirit, and it says so here, is foolishness. They can't understand them because they right. lack the Spirit.
That's right. So, and you have hit on one of the questions I was asking, and that is, what does the Holy Spirit do in regard to our perception of things? How does He change perceptions in us if, when He's at work?
Changes our perception by evaluating things according to the Spirit,
right.
not according to the flesh.
Right. Since we're all very knowledgeable about computers, well, we use them, right? I've got one right here. That it has more power in it than the ones that put the astronauts in orbit. So I've got plenty of brain power right here. Not here. I've got plenty of brain power. Now, the question that we probably have to ask, is there something that our brain defaults to? Do you know that expression, defaults to?
Mm-hmm.
That is, if you don't do something, that happens.
Right.
When you turn your phone on, for example, maybe Facebook comes up automatically. Now, I'm not saying it should. I'm just, maybe you have a setup so that that's the thing that it defaults to when you are playing around with your phone. That's a big mistake because when anything that we own or have or that has any influence on us is our default setting for whether it's a phone or a computer or maybe books that you have, anything that has an impact on your spirit is something you ought to be very, very concerned about.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will help you because part of His job is to help us discern things that are important, things that are needing to be done or not, to be able to see what it is. You remember what the tree of what something, what that tree was that Eve gave to Adam and said, hey, it tastes good. You want to try some?
Yeah, knowledge of good and evil.
The knowledge of good and evil. I would say that in a way, iPhones are the forbidden fruit because it's got a lot of good and evil in it.
That's right.
And it's just up to us to decide how we're going to use it. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to discern. Does it sound more important for the Holy
Spirit?
Huh?
Do not eat your cell phone.
Okay, thank you.
Adam ate his.
All right. I'm glad that you made that clear to us, right? But it does put it in practical terms what it was that got man in trouble in the first place.
Right.
And I'm not saying that woman got man in trouble. That's not the point. It was the desire to be so knowledgeable that we're what, like God. We're knowing things. We will know things just like God. We will know everything if we eat that. That's what the devil said. And when we fell for that, I'm talking about mankind, when we fell for that, we were at that moment rejecting the Holy Spirit, who was certainly with God right there walking in the garden, and he could have been consulted, he could have helped us with that, but we chose not to do it. So when we get into Corinthians and we see here how important the Holy Spirit is, that he is always monitoring what God thinks and what we think, and he's trying to help us get in sync with God. That's about the easiest way I have of explaining how he is working for us. Is that a miracle? I don't call it a miracle. I call it the way God deals with us. That's what he does with us every day of the year, if we'll just let him. Well, yes.
We can't understand the mind of God without the Spirit.
You're right, of course. In a way, can we ever understand the mind of God?
No, we don't have
to. To some degree, but not ultimately.
That's right. Ultimately, we'll never get it. But on the other hand, he will let us learn and appreciate what he's about to the extent that we need it. He's never going to leave us unequipped for dealing with the world because he wants us to win. He says, I've been preparing a place for you for all these years. I'm not about to let you go to hell. That's not what I want for you. I'm going to give you every aid that you need, and the Holy Spirit is right there at the top of the list. Every aid that you need in order to keep yourself pure and clean and ready to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son.
A few verses earlier, he says that wisdom of man is foolishness with God. So, if we try to put ourselves on the level with God, we are foolish.
Oh, yes, you're right. So it's when we decide that we are, okay, I've got it now. You know, I've been a Christian for 50 years, 90 years, or however long it's been. And you, well, come on. Okay, not 90, just 80. How about 80 years? Okay, but what we tend to do is we tend to get it, say, I've been a Christian all this time. I've got it, you know. I've read the Bible through so many times I can't count. I do all the praying, I do all the reading, I do all the thinking, and I've got it. But we might think we've got it. We've just lost it, haven't we, when we say we've got it. Okay.
In the South we call that being uppity.
Well, true. I don't know how many people in this audience understands Southisms like that, but
Satan is a bit uppity, and we start acting like the devil, we get a bit uppity.
Okay.
No humility.
I think I've got it now. Oops. No. All right, let's go on here. And he says, the Spirit who is from God, we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, where do you find the things that he's given us? Okay, if we didn't have the book, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? But the Holy Spirit has made it possible for us to have this gift. And I keep driving away on this because I think that a lot of times we say, well, the Holy Spirit was given to those people back there who needed to have the Holy Spirit because they didn't have a book except the Old Testament, which they did have. And they should have known the Holy Spirit to that extent. But anyway, back in those days, yes, they needed to have the Holy Spirit. And so when they got beyond that and they had written word, they had letters from the apostles, they had all of these, and they had inspired people like the apostles to help them. And then what we had after that is this written word. All over the world you can get the Bible. Very rarely can you find no Bibles in your community. You can find a Bible if you want to. Anyway, now he says, what was it he said there in that verse? He said, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Well, certainly we know that the word, the printed word, has been given to us. We all have that. So he's also saying that he, as an apostle, had been given this word to an extent that he could pass it on by inspiration. Yes.
It's amazing that humankind or mankind has added revision, correction to God's word, and I think that's talking about being up, and anyone who would do that is trying to compare their wisdom to that of God. God is all wise, all knowing. Therefore, leave his word alone and just obey it.
All right.
Speak it.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm kind of getting away from what our topic is, but it's amazing how much the Holy Spirit helps us learn even when we have read it over and over again. It just seems like, you know, we're reading right now a plan for reading the Bible through at least once during the whole year. You probably have one of those plans too. And sure, I've read that before. And you've read it before. But have you found anything new? Yes, you've found something new. In fact, I was looking at all the, in Nehemiah, I was looking at how many different names there are in there of people that came back from captivity. I didn't remember reading all those names before. I never memorized them. I couldn't remember who had what job to do when they were restored to Jerusalem. But I began to have a renewed appreciation for the detail that went into setting up the temple and all of the activities that had to go on in there in order that people might praise God. And that was all what it was about, praising God. All the singers, all the incense burners, everybody that had a job to do was told what their job was and how they were to do it. Why do you suppose the Bible recorded all those names and all those people?
Because it was important.
It was important. I mean, we might not understand all the importance that there is to that, but by going back and reading it again, I got an appreciation again for how God had set things up in detail for his majesty and his glory to be on display. Yes?
Suggest the principle. If there was a Babylonian captivity and everything was all destroyed and busted, and that it was important to record in detail putting it back together, I'm suggesting today in 2022, how would we, if our Christianity is busted, how would we put it back together in the most proper way? Would we not do as they did back in the days of Nehemiah and go to his word and say, what is his will for me on this topic and that topic, and how should I do personally, and what about the organization of the church, and what are the roles, and on we go. In Nehemiah's day, they put all those in detail, specific. Wouldn't it be very insightful if we said, here and now, as this generation, could we not do the same as they did and put the New Testament church together and following Jesus together? And it sounds like a good idea.
Right. So the Holy Spirit was doing his work then.
Mm-hmm.
As he's doing it today. And we may have to do that. In fact, I think you were saying to me several months ago that your thought would be one of these days they'll be sending missionaries from Ukraine to tell America how to get the job done.
May it be soon.
Well, yes. Okay. I don't know how it's possible that we use up a whole hour and cover one verse, but
got a lot to say today.
And I'd like to publicly thank Sister Bryant for having cough drops. Do you notice how much better it was?
Like instantly, yes.
Now, shall we say that was a miracle?
No.
Providential,
yes. It was done with love.
We're done with love, all right.
Moved by the Holy Spirit to help the teacher.
That was being a mother.
Yes.
That's right. A mother in Israel. You remember that expression?
Amen.
Okay. Well, so for next week, for next week, we're going to read the next paragraph. And I hope we'll get some good out of it. Our granddaughter, Lisa, Lori, tell me your name. Elisa, there you go. Our granddaughter, Elisa, decided she would rather be in the adult class. She may wonder whether these are adults or not. They are. We are adults. This is what adults do when they have a Bible study. Okay. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love you and we adore you. We adore your Son and your Spirit because, Father, you have given us all of these resources so that we might make it from here to where you are. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your leading us through your word and through the counsel of the Spirit. Lord, we know that we sometimes think that we are on the right path and that we've got it all made. Such is not the case. We are on the right track because we believe in Jesus as your Son. And yet we have so much more to learn, so much more to do, that we might indeed show the world who you are and why we must serve you. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your leadership, for your generosity to us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Be with us next week, and we'll cover another paragraph.